Peter had betrayed him. And because Peter betrayed him, the soldiers took him. And when the soldiers took him, all of the disciples left him. And he was alone. Those in power made him walk up the hill carrying his own cross. When he got to the top of the hill, they put him on the cross. And the Sanhedrin celebrated. Finally, he'll shut up. And the Romans played games at his feet and made fun of him. Everybody in town showed up to hurl insults at him. And he looked out across the crowd, and at least one of the disciples had returned. We can only assume that some others had as well. And he saw those, his best friends, who had betrayed him in his darkest hour. And he saw the Sanhedrin. He saw the Romans and the city folk. And I think in a very supernatural and spiritual way, he looked across the years and across the lands, and he saw all of us. And as he looked at that crowd there, and as he looked at all of us, he cried out with a loud voice, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." The veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom, not bottom up, not man making a way to heaven, but God opening the way for us. The darkness covered the land. As all of creation rebelled against what they were seeing, as their Creator died for sinful people, all of creation rebelled and the lights went out. And Jesus spoke again. And he said, "It's done. It's finished." The word is tetelestai. It's a word that was used when you made the last payment at the bank. When you made your last payment and your debt was completed, they would write on there, "Tetelestai." It's done. It's finished. Jesus, dying on the cross that day, was not saying, "I'm done." He wasn't saying, "My life is over." He was saying, "The payment for sin has been paid in full. No more sacrificial lambs," because he was the Lamb of God. Now, veil torn in two, we have complete direct access to God. Our sins have been paid for, and we can be forgiven. All because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Because of that, we come to the table. You remember, you work hard to remember those things that are most important to you. When we didn't know what to expect at the house after the explosion, we didn't know for sure what we could get or how we could get it. We didn't know how long it would be before we could get in. I haven't told this part of the story because I didn't want to get anybody in trouble, but I understand that they'll be okay. It won't get in trouble. Some firefighters from another town showed up at my office just a few days after, before everything was open, they showed up at my office and they said, "We want to help you. You go in our vehicle and we'll drive through the barricades and we'll take you to your house and you get what you have to have." We didn't get to the house for 10 days, but I got to go in and get the important stuff after a few days. And I went in there, and what did I get? I didn't get the TV. I didn't get the Dr. Pepper in the fridge. I got the wedding album. I got the photos. I got Ashley's graduation stuff. Because we work hard to remember the things that are important. The table reminds us of that which is most important. That's why in our tradition, we have it periodically. So that every time we have it, it's important. We don't want to run too quickly into worship, past the table and on to the next thing. Because it is at the table that we remember Jesus' body was broken and he said, "Father, forgive them." It's at the table that we remember that Jesus' blood was shed and he said, "It's finished. Paid for." This morning, I want to invite you to the table. Don't come because it's a religious activity and that's what religious people do. I invite you to the table to remember our Savior, to remember his sacrifice on that old rugged cross. You're invited to the table to experience again the deep love of God that brings to us that grace that is so amazing. And the invitation is open to all who have trusted in Christ. You don't have to have the name Baptist. You don't have to be a member of our church. However, in order not to make a mockery of it, you do need to be someone who has committed your life to Jesus. You need to be a believer. If you've trusted in Christ, then you have accepted his gift of eternal life. Therefore, you should celebrate that with us. When we come to the table, it allows us 4 looks, if you will. And since I've already taken all of my time, let me very quickly just show you those 4 looks. We look back. As we look back at Calvary, we look back at the cross, we look back at what he's done. But not only do we look back, but we also look within. The scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 tells us, before we take the Lord's Supper, before we participate, we are to examine ourselves. And make sure that we don't take the supper unworthy. Make sure that we're ready. And so, in just a moment, we're going to pause. And I'm going to ask you to take just a moment to examine yourself. To make sure you're ready for the Lord's Supper. We look back, we look within, and we look around. We look around as the table unites us. You see that the ground at the cross is level. There's no one person who is more important than any other person, and the same is true at the table. We eat the same bread. We drink the same cup. He unites us, and we look around and see one another. We see the body of Christ as we come to the table together. There is one loaf. We who are many are one body, for we share the one loaf. And then we look ahead. We look back at the cross. We look within. We look around and we look ahead, because he says, whenever you do this, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The table not only helps us look back at the cross, but it helps us look forward to his return. It helps us look back at the first time he came and look forward to the next time, the last time that he will come. When you do this, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So we look forward to his coming. I want to invite you to join us as we come to the table. I want to invite you to take just a moment now, if you would. We're going to be quiet for not long, but we're just going to be quiet for a second. Would you take a little bit of time just to pray? Ask the Lord to forgive you of your sin. Make sure that you're ready to come to the table and receive this beautiful, powerful reminder of the greatest gift ever given. Let's take a moment to look within so that we're ready to look back and look around and look forward. Deacons, would you join me at the Lord's table? Paul says, I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Brother Rusty Johnson, would you lead our prayer for the bread? Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. In the same way he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Brother Dan Moss, would you lead our prayer for the cup? But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, we are healed.